Today I want for us to explore together how during the Jewish High Holy Days, each and every one of us plays three important roles. First, we have all been wronged. Second, we have all done wrong to others and to ourselves. And third, we all have the spark of the divine, which empowers us to play a special role in atonement. Let me start by sharing about an experience stretching over decades of my life, which still needs forgiveness. For the longest time, I could not do it. Almost 30 years ago, my aunt and uncle disowned my cousin Sharon because she is a lesbian. When Sharon was 16 years old, her parents found out about her sexual orientation, and they consulted their pastor and their lawyer, and they thought about it, and soon thereafter, they gave an ultimatum to Sharon, my cousin, saying she had two choices. She could renounce her lesbianism by her 18th birthday, or she would have to leave the home. She thought about it, decided she had to be who she is, and she left on her 18th birthday in the middle of senior year in high school. For years, I held intense resentments towards my aunt and uncle. At some points in my life, I said, I cannot forgive them, ever. And at other points, I said, I will not. I've decided. This one is not going to happen. A couple years ago, fast forward, I was having lunch with my cousin Sharon and her partner Jill. And among other things, the three of us were talking about our own individual journeys with the challenges in this situation. So I was talking about my decades-long, simmering, intense resentments towards Sharon's parents, my aunt and uncle. And as I was sharing about my anger, I realized that the bitterness was alive in my body, palpable, right there. And on the one hand, I thought Sharon and Jill might consider my anger as a sign of solidarity with them and with the cause. But on the other hand, I sensed that they found my anger a bit too overwhelming, and they seemed uncomfortable around me at that time. And right then I realized, this is not how I want to be anymore. And I realized I need atonement. I put it off as long as I could. Over the centuries, our Unitarian Universalist faith tradition has been magnificent in teaching about the redeeming, loving, unconditional nature of the divine, however you think about the divine or God or the Spirit. And over the centuries, our Unitarian Universalist faith tradition has been superb in giving an affirmative, uplifting estimation of what human beings can do. Very positive on human nature, which has been a tremendous relief in response to a lot of other traditions, most namely in our context, Calvinism. But it's also true that in some ways the pendulum swung too far. And at times, we were not dealing with the tough stuff that we experienced both participating and receiving. At times, Unitarian Universalism has been religion light. And for decades, we did not do enough in helping people to find a way to forgive others or to make amends when we ourselves have been in the wrong. Thankfully, Unitarian Universalism explicitly draws on the wisdom of Judaism, and in reconnecting more strongly with those roots, we have found a path for us to reclaim some theological and liturgical traditions which help us meet our needs, which I think most every one of us has, for self-reflection and atonement. Getting into the river of forgiveness with all the other sisters and brothers of the human family. Living a life toxified with resentments at whatever level of intensity can burn us out and damage our souls. Most people in this sanctuary, I believe, can probably say that at one time or another, he or she has felt the effects of resentments, even to the extent of feeling like a broken down car on the side of the road needing a tow. I'm so angry, I just can't even function anymore. It's overwhelming. Or I'm so down on myself, angry at them, angry at me. In order to prevent those kind of breakdowns, most of us can benefit from engaging in atonement and doing it in a regular pattern of reflection and forgiveness. Your car needs an oil change every 30,000 miles, and in a similar way, our souls benefit from regular maintenance. That's a big one for me. And we know entering in the cycles of forgiveness is not just about avoiding more problems. This is not just preventing the car from breaking down on the side of the road. There is a positive, symbiotic relationship between forgiveness and spiritual strength. We know these results happen when we do it. More clarity of conscience. Lighter soul. One of the finest hospitals in the country, Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, says that the benefits of forgiving include higher levels of peace, kindness, generosity, and joy. No, I'm sorry, peace, kindness, gratitude, and joy. This is Mayo Clinic document saying they see this in their patients when they study it. They've also documented that folks who practice and successfully engage in forgiveness experience healthier relationships, greater spiritual and psychological well-being, less anxiety, stress, and hostility, lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, and lower risk of alcohol and substance abuse. This is a lot of good stuff. And like most things in life, if you want it, you have to do some footwork to get there. During this time, each person focuses on doing mitzvah, which can be translated a couple ways. Mitzvah is sometimes doing good deeds. Mitzvah can be translated aligning yourself more closely with God's will. Mitzvah can be translated to say aligning yourself more with ethical behavior which you are dedicated to follow. This happens in 12-step programs where people do it in regularity. It happens in the Jewish tradition. We are doing it here. So I want to give you a couple specific thoughts on this, which come the framework from Rabbi Michael Lerner. He is a national leader in progressive Jewish and interfaith dialogue. He's in charge of Tikkun magazine. Four basic elements of forgiveness, according to Rabbi Lerner. Number one, forgiveness means remembering that everybody makes bad choices. You forgot my birthday 2 years in a row with all I do for you. And that really hurt my feelings. But I remember that everybody makes mistakes like that, including me. I'll give you a bigger one. Dan Gottlieb, who many of us know as a contributor to NPR and the Philadelphia Inquirer, he writes books. He's also quadriplegic because he was in a horrific car accident where a large wheel came off a semi-truck and in through his windshield. What he found out after the accident was that the manufacturers of the truck knew that the wheel was defective and kept making it and putting it on the road. He seethed with rage for years at the people. He wished them misery. But then part of coming back into the river of forgiveness was saying, you know what? Everybody makes mistakes, including big, bad mistakes like that. Everybody makes mistakes. Number two, forgiveness means having the courage to face the truth. I was so out of bounds at that social gathering with the remarks I was saying about our friend. And two of my friends told me that my comments made them uncomfortable. Let's just call it a fact that I really messed up. And move on from that. Let's deal with the fact. Hey, you know those ways that I do my timesheet at work where I'm playing Scrabble for 45 minutes with my buddies on the internet as work on my time? That's kind of cheating on my timesheet. Let's just call a fact a fact. I want to go back to my story for a minute here. I now believe that in over-focusing my anger on my Uncle Bob and my Aunt Marcy, I was providing emotional coverage to hide from my own character defects, such as being grumpy, caustic, and rude, many times the people closest in my life, a best friend, a tight colleague. So I'll tell you this about myself. I am pretty good being mad at explicitly homophobic or racist folks. I can do diatribes. I'm a lifetime Unitarian from Chicago and Philly. You know, try me. But it's not pretty. And the ways I did that for years allowed me to cover up. I got a big ego. Kent a lot of times has a big, I know this is a shock to the congregation. Wow. But I avoid my big ego problems and blah, blah. I'm special. I can be rude today because I'm special. You know, I had a special day. So, and this can also happen if you have problems with shame. If you think you're below everybody or above everybody, you have a problem. And if you're creating some coverage, you're not dealing with your problem. It's also true for people like rageaholics. You gotta deal with it. We create a lot of excuses to keep ourselves out of the forgiveness river. Number three, forgiveness means honoring our feelings without taking revenge. I cannot believe that I just found out that you, my sibling, did not do what you promised in taking care of our mother, who is now feeble. We had an agreement of divisional labor. You haven't been doing what you said you would. I really want to light into you with some hurtful, angry comments and actions, but I know that is not going to help anybody, including our mother, who needs the help. Number four, forgiveness means deciding to correct our mistakes instead of punishing ourselves. Making amends involves saying sorry and changing behavior. Don't say sorry and do more of the same. And don't keep beating yourself up. Forgive yourself. Forgive God if you have to. Find a way to move past what's keeping you back and move on. And my little last one, if I had five, is go into forgiveness without expecting the other person to respond in a certain way. If I say sorry to you, you're going to do whatever you're going to do. I'm doing it because it's the right thing for me, and maybe I have a better shot at experiencing a higher level of peace or kindness, but I'm just going to do it because it's the right thing today. It takes practice to do these things, and we get healthier as we grow. Mahatma Gandhi said, forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. So the more you can forgive, the stronger you get. And the stronger you are, the more you can forgive. The less you forgive, the weaker you get spiritually. The weaker you are, the less you can forgive. Find somebody who doesn't fit into that for me. It's very, very common. Dr. King was consistently clear about the relationship between these dynamics. Dr. King said, we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. And when we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. It takes practice. practice to forgive. And the better we get, the stronger and the healthier we grow. And many times this is tough stuff, so it's why we do it in community. I'm not saying hang out your dirty laundry in the church, but I am saying look around, and if there's somebody you can find who you trust and respect, who you can sit down heart to heart and work these things out together, get some guidance from someone you trust. Most people don't do this stuff isolated their whole life. It doesn't work out too well. We also come together to lift up those biggest shining examples. Hold them up as beacons. Mandela walked out of 27 years of apartheid prison at Robben Island saying he planned to forgive now the leaders of apartheid. A movement that was constantly under vicious attack, like the murder of Medgar Evers and the four little girls who got killed in a church bombing. But Dr. King, the leader, preached, forgive your enemies. We must forgive. The Pennsylvania Amish who spoke of forgiveness for the shooter immediately after the school was rampaged with bullets, little kids and teachers, the man turned the gun on himself. They immediately started talking about forgiveness. They went to his funeral. They made a task force to help his family who had lost their bread earner. I don't know how they did it, if you ask me honestly, but it's a real deal, flesh and blood, human and divine connection example of forgiveness. We come together to lift these up because they guide us on our way, and we need it. My Uncle Bob died last year, and I think that I have finally forgiven him. If not entirely, I now clearly realize that I am on the road. I need to be on a road in that direction. I wish I had arrived at this point before he died, but I did not. One of the last things was, I saw my dad so upset about his brother dying. And I said, come on, man, to myself, it's time. You got to go with love. It's time. I engage in regular reflections and efforts of atonement through our church. It's a key factor that helps me make progress coming this far. I would not have been able to do this without you. And I hope that you feel the same about each other. Let's get back to at-one-ment with ourselves and with each other and with our world. Together, we're coming back to our better selves, to our relationships of care and respect. Together, we're coming back to be nearer our God to thee. Blessings be. Amen. Let's sing now the next hymn.